Cooney, and it is a joy to have you with us this morning, whether you're in the sanctuary with us or online with us. We are so excited that you're worshiping with us today. I have a couple of announcements to lift before you as we get started. I know that there's a lot of conversation around masks still happening, so let me tell you what's currently happening in worship. We're still, based upon CDC and county regulations, because we're not in the highest risk category, able to say that if you want to wear a mask, you're welcome to come in and wear a mask and sit with the mask the whole time in worship. You're also welcome to be unmasked. The only time we ask you to wear a mask is when we sing. If you did not get a mask on the way in, please grab one. We would love for you to wear one during our song time, and we're so grateful for that. The words for everything will be on the screen, and so you will not need to have anything in terms of that. Also, this morning, we've noticed that people, and I love this, some of you are hanging around, sharing and talking, and that is fantastic. So what we've done this morning is we've put together, just as a test, we're just going to see what happens, a pitcher of coffee in the fellowship hall, just a lonely pitcher, just to see what happens, to see if it's empty by the end, right? And so if it's empty, then next week, maybe there'll be two pitchers. Maybe there'll even be decaf or still for tea. Just imagine the possibilities. So we really want to begin to see how we can meet your needs. We didn't want to put out, by the way, that's Dunkin' Donuts coffee. I personally made sure that it wasn't some of the off-brand stuff. You know what I'm talking about. So it's Dunkin' Donuts coffee, and it's to a good strength if you like coffee. So it's in there, and if you're interested, please go in there and get that. This month, sometime in the next week or two, the reopening committee will be meeting to evaluate where we are for the fall and looking at where things are, and we just wanted to let you know that, and we'll be soon letting you know their decisions. Also, this week we'll be sending out an email with our fall plans. We will be making some changes and adjustments, and so look for that email this week. If you're not on our CyberBeacon list, please call the office or email the office, Bettina@BethanyUM.org, and let us know, and we will get you on that list. Also, we want to thank those of you who are giving, and it's summertime, and giving is always down in the summer, so if you have not been caught up, please catch up so that that helps us during the summertime. The end of August is the end of this year's fiscal year, and we want to finish the year strong. So thank you, thank you, thank you. What an amazing summer it's been with all the mission stuff that have been happening here, the ways in which we've been helping our community. We are so blessed to be watching those stories emerge. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we just want to thank you so much today for the opportunity to worship you. Thank you for looking across the room and seeing friends that we haven't seen in a while. That's a something beautiful to our hearts. Thank you for the opportunity to sing and to gather in this place. We pray for our world as we look today at the topic in our series, Navigating Uncertainty. We see so much of it in our world, and it affects so many different people. Help us as Christians to be your light in this world and to be more deeply believing in your presence and your power with us. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand and let the praise band lead us in worship.
Amen. So for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I don't know if you guys are excited as I am about that, but I'm so grateful. So can we sing along to this message? One, two, three. It's okay if you clap.
Come all you weary, come all you thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water, come and thirst no more. Come all you sinners, come find his mercy. Come to the table, he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for. For God so loved the world that he gave us, his one and only son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting there with open arms. See his open arms, for God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever.
God, we look outside and see your beautiful creation coming alive with green and blossoms and baby birds. We look inside our homes and our community and see the people you've given to love us and for us to love. We look inside our hearts and find you there, reminding us that you love us so much you sent your son Jesus to die for our sins. We come to say thank you and to ask you to remind us again that we show our love for you best when we share our love with others. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
The new song that we're going to sing together, Pastor Andrew was talking about navigating uncertainty. And we want to encourage you on today to not fear, because it doesn't stand against God. In Jesus' name. I'm not afraid to leave my past behind. No, I won't be shaken.
No, I won't be shaken. 'Cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Oh, there's power that can break off every chain. There's resurrection power that can save. Power in your name. Power in your name. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Oh, I'm standing in your love.
Amen.
Before I say a prayer, you know, it's really hard to tell how much fun you're having with that mask on.
I love telling the devil that he's defeated. I love it.
Can you tell? Can you tell? All of you all had some fun this morning.
Amen.
I mean, you had some fun this morning. Father, we are grateful that the praise band brought us before your throne of grace. I love that you call it a throne of grace. Some of us imagine it simply as a throne of judgment, or a throne of power, or a throne of glory. And all of those things are true, the scripture says. But you love to call it a throne of grace. And boy, do we need that. So as we gather this morning to worship you, to think about you, to leave behind the things that we brought with us, and hear what you have to say to us, help us to actively do that. It requires taking our eyes off of the proverbial wind and waves and looking at Jesus. That's a spiritual discipline, God, that's not easy for us. So we invite you to help us with that. In your Son's holy name we pray. Amen. That was fun. Wasn't that fun? That was worth getting up for. We are in the second Sunday of a series called Navigating Uncertainty, and that's in part because we spend a lot of time in our lives navigating uncertainty, and there's a lot of uncertainty in life. I shared last week that I have an unspoken goal that my therapist and my friends have forced me to admit out loud, and that is that my unconscious goal has been to eliminate as much uncertainty in my life as possible. I would like to live in a place with no uncertainty or problems, but last week I admitted that that place exists and it's called heaven. The Bible is full of stories of people who have faced uncertainty, and last week we looked at an interaction between Jesus and Peter, and right after Peter had declared that Jesus was the Son of God, Jesus declares that he's going to have to go to the cross and die, and Peter says, "That will never happen to you. Lord forbid it happens to you." And Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." And what we talked about last week was the idea that Jesus was saying, this idea does not come from you, and I will not entertain it. It comes from Satan. This does not come from God, and I will not entertain it. And then Jesus goes on to say that those who cling to their life and their plans will lose it. Because the moment that we cling to our plans, more and more uncertainty will happen because life will not line up with our plans. And so we asked the question last week, are we willing to identify whether the source of what we're hearing is from God, and are we willing to let go of our plans and live in God's? Today, I'm going to be talking on the topic of borrowing drama. Borrowing drama. We like a little bit of drama in our lives. It almost doesn't matter who you are. I want to ask you, how many hours over the course of human history do you think human beings have worried? How many hours over the course of human history have they worried about stuff that wasn't their own to worry about? It's crazy how we do this. We don't mind borrowing drama by peeking into the lives of other people and going, oh my gosh, look what's happening over there. It's astounding how we do that. Reality TV, stopping to look at an accident, all kinds of ways we do this. If you are a sports fan, sports radio went crazy at the possibility that Aaron Rodgers might be leaving the Packers. God forbid. If you're a Redskins fan, how many of you cared? If you're a Ravens fan, how many of you cared? But it was all over. People spend hours filling airtime talking about Aaron Rodgers, and some of you still don't care. And the drama ended when we find out that Aaron Rodgers is staying after all that conversation. Simone Biles. I mean, how many stories can we list? Drama brings a little excitement, and it's excitement if it's not your drama. When it's your drama, it's a problem. When it's somebody else's drama, it's excitement. Now, what does it have to do with uncertainty? Well, let me ask you a question. How many of you were alive and relatively conscious in 2014? Some of you were alive, but not quite conscious. You were not paying attention to life, either because you were in third grade or you just didn't care. But around 2014, the news began to tell us in all stations and all channels and over the internet and everywhere else that Africanized bees were coming to kill us. Do you remember this story? They started in South and Central America, and they were making their way forward, and they were going to come to your backyard, and they were going to build a nest. And when you went out to light a fire in your backyard just to sit down and roast marshmallows, they were going to attack you and kill you. Every single one of you. It was all over the news. They are coming to get us. And many of us buy into what is someone else's real drama. Although, you know what we found out later? Africanized bees are more tame than others and have less venom than most other bees. You know we found that out? The BBC did a whole story on it in 2018. I want to look at first a verse and then a whole passage of scripture from the Sermon on the Mount, one of Jesus' arguably most important sermons. And here's what Jesus says in Matthew 6:34. We're going to look at this first, and then we're going to go back a few verses and look at it. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Would you read out loud with me the next sentence? Today's trouble is enough for today. Today's trouble is enough for today. And here's what Jesus meant. Today's trouble in your life is enough for your day today. He didn't say everyone else's trouble in their lives was enough for you today. If you are carrying right now a burden for Aaron Rodgers, I'd like to have an altar call. I would like you to lay it down. Poor Aaron is sitting in his mansion, and you are worrying for him. So I want you to walk through with me this passage of Jesus' teaching. And then we're going to come back to why this is so important and what this verse means for us. Here it is in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25. This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. The stuff of every day. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food? And your body more than clothing? And he goes on to say this. Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns. They don't do any of these things. For your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable than they are? He says, look, if you're going to look at this from the standpoint of how much value you have and therefore how much care is given, are you not more valuable than them? And then he says this. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Now, the truth of the matter is, we know this. Jesus didn't have to tell us this. We know this. But there is a chasm between knowledge and action. Can I get an amen? And then Jesus goes back. And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why? Should I read this out loud? Why do you have so little trust in your heavenly Father? That's the Andrew version. The Jesus version is, why do you have so little faith? So he says, so don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat or what will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. Now, I'm just going to be real frank with you. I'm guessing that for many of us, those are not dominating our thoughts because we have freezers and we have closets. So you might just pause right here and go, this does not apply to me because I'm not worried about lunch. By the way, there are people today worried about lunch and what they'll wear tomorrow. I'll talk about that in a minute. So what is dominating your thoughts? What is pushing in? Is it just about today? Is it just about your life or what you're responsible for? Or do you find all these other things beginning to push into you? He says, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows your needs. This is what I love about God. See, as a parent, and I'm not done yet raising my children, they're soon all going to be adults. One of them has crossed the finish line to adulthood. That doesn't mean I stop being a parent. Yeah, some of you are chuckling like you're going to be a parent forever. I know. As a parent, I work very hard to be aware of my kids' needs. My wife works even harder. But I don't know all my kids' needs. When you were growing up, how many of you had parents that knew all your needs and all the stuff that was happening inside of you? You didn't even want them to know that. Even if they asked, you weren't going to tell them. Here's what Jesus is saying. In terms of God, your heart cannot be hidden. He sees it all. He knows what you're going to ask before you even ask it. He knows what you're worrying about. And Jesus is trying to say, so understand, this is where you live in the reality of this world when you're a follower of Christ. And so he says this, so seek the kingdom of God above everything else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. We're familiar with that verse. And so his closing statement is, so with all this knowledge that I just taught you about God providing for you and God loving you and God caring for you and how much he'll care for you more than the birds and the animals because he loves you more than them, so do not worry about tomorrow. Now, this to me is a very interesting statement, because Jesus doesn't say don't worry about today. See, worry is supposed to spur you to action. That's the purpose of worry. There are times when you should be worried. How many of you have ever had a three-year-old in your life? If you have a three-year-old in your life, there's a good chance there should be some worry in your life. Because if you're taking a walk, you need to make sure that they're still on the sidewalk and haven't run into the street. That if you're looking at something on a clothes rack, you haven't turned around and they're no longer in your sight. But worry is designed to lead us to action. And Jesus in this passage is trying to tell us some very practical things that we can apply even if we wrestle with them. And the first is to remind ourselves that God is committed to taking care of us. Does that mean that there won't be troubles or problems? No. As parents, you can take care of your kids, but it doesn't mean that you can eliminate all of their troubles and problems. And when Jesus tells us that God will take care of us, sometimes in layman's terms, we interpret that as heaven's level of care. No pain, no suffering, no problems, no disease, no worries, none of that. But that's not the level of care he's offered to provide for us on this planet now. He said, my kingdom is coming and I am providing for you a heavenly, earthly level of care. And that God is good and he will care and provide for us. And then he says, I'm going to ask you to trust me in that. The second thing that he teaches us in this passage is that God works on a day-to-day basis. This is how God works. We would like God to work on a year-to-year basis. January 1st, would you take care of the entire year for me, God? We actually do that, right? I'm hoping next year's a better year. God operates on a day-to-day basis. Jesus trained us to pray, give us this month our monthly bread. Fill our freezers. But if you look consistently throughout Scripture, in the Old Testament, when the people wandering in the wilderness needed food, how often did God provide it? Daily. Daily. That's why this walk is a walk of trust. Here's the third thing. We like to dip into other people's business and borrow their drama. Periodically in the news, we will hear about things like shark attacks and airplane crashes and cars exploding and pit bulls attacking people. And I'm just going to say to you, if you're at the beach and shark attacks at your beach are rising dramatically, pay attention. But if you're watching the news and shark attacks are rising dramatically in Australia or Florida or Mexico, maybe you're borrowing somebody else's drama. Can I get an amen? Simone Biles is an amazing gifted gymnast. I am not an expert in any sport. There are experts who say that she is the greatest of all gymnasts ever. And there have been long conversations in our culture recently about stress and twisties and mental health issues and all kinds of stuff. And I want to sit back and say, how does this help her? And how does it help you? Now, if you want to help her, as a Christian, you actually have a way to do that. Because if you're really worried about Simone, I encourage you to get down on your knees for 10 minutes and lift that young woman before a Heavenly Father. Because worrying about her or gossiping about her is not going to help her. But we have the opportunity to do so. As a matter of fact, I'm guessing that she has a Twitter account and you could actually tweet her from where you sit. Don't do it right now. You're in worship. But you probably have the opportunity to say, praying for you, or I'm on your side, or whatever it is. In this day and age, you actually have the opportunity to help people like you never have before. And acting actually relieves yourself of anxiety. And here's the fourth thing. We like to borrow tomorrow's problems today. As a leader, I've been trained to look ahead and anticipate and expect problems that are on the horizon. It's a key aspect of being a leader. And many of you are leaders too, and you do that as well. To anticipate a problem and respond to it is the gift that a leader can bring to an organization. But I found that there's a careful balance that we have to hold between that sense of looking ahead and anticipating a problem and responding to it and standing there and worrying about it. And that's huge. Have you ever had a time when you had something coming and you imagined the worst? How many of you had ever had a test that was coming and you're like, I'm going to fail? Or a meeting where you had to have a difficult conversation and you just think, this is going to go horribly. And we stress and we worry and we think about all this stuff. And then on the other side of it, about 90% of the time, it was not as bad as we thought it was. And if we use the anxiety to motivate us to do something, to pray, to prepare, to act, to care for, to love, then something good has happened. But if we just worry, have we added a single hour to our lives, Jesus said. How many hours have we wasted dreading things that never happened? Jesus is not trying to command us. He's trying to invite us into a different way of living. And I have to say, on the one hand, I really want it. But on the other hand, I like a little bit of drama. So I keep getting sucked back in over and over and over again. This week, I want you to remind yourself that God is with you. And maybe that is a real action. Maybe you need to put up a 3x5 card on your mirror that when you go to the bathroom in the morning, it says on your mirror, God is with you. I want you to work at not borrowing others' drama. There is a sense of responsibility we have for others. And if you have that responsibility for others, please exercise it, help them, care for them. But if you have no way to act and it's not in your life, maybe you're borrowing somebody else's drama. Look ahead, but look ahead to respond. Not simply to be anxious, and act on what you can and then say, my Heavenly Father is here day and night. I have done what I can. When I put my head on the pillow, I am going to leave it in my Father's hands. because God can do what we cannot. And there are times when we try and figure out, how do I do what I cannot do? Isn't that a powerfully stupid conversation we have with ourselves? So we find solutions like manipulating and controlling and politicking and conniving, and when we maybe should be asking our Heavenly Father to help someone or to change their heart or to change the situation or to step in some way that we cannot do on our own. Heavenly Father, I like to borrow drama about tomorrow, about other people, about problems I don't even need to worry about. And Jesus is very clear. Today's worry is enough for today. We need your grace to teach us to live like that. Because as we become a more and more connected world, we have the opportunity to live in more and more uncertainty with areas that we cannot help or affect or change in any way. Help us to know how we can best be agents of love in your world, to live in the grace that you offer to us, and to trust you that you are a good God. We pray all this in the name of our blessed and beautiful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
The name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. God, we live for you. Oh,
Father, we are so grateful that Jesus invited us to build our life on him. He declared himself to be the solid rock upon which we could build our life, and that nothing, what he wrote that. Help us as we go today to trust in you because of your goodness and your love for us. In the name of our precious Savior, we pray. Amen.
Can we lift it up and say,
I will build my life upon your love.
As you go. Enjoyed that just as much as I do because we don't want to leave here, but we have to go.
There's coffee in the fellowship hall.
Amen.
Go in peace.